Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
All-state moment, and Tucker drills one high and deep, and the Astros have their first lead of the night. Second deck home run for King Tuck, and it's 6-5 Houston.
All hail, the King has gotten into the upper tank. 422-foot bomb.
Yeah, the Astros won last night, 6-5 over the Miami Marlins. But that loss brought me no joy. 2 days in a row, the opening segment involving the Astros, my friends, is going to be a bit Debbie Downerish. But welcome aboard the most interactive sports talk show in town. You can jump aboard a variety of different ways. 713-780-3776, as you heard Spencer Tillman saying. Coming into the show on Twitter at Gallant Says, that's Sean A. Mapes behind the glass on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, where you can watch the show. I'm actually dressed up today. People believe, oh, Paul, dressing up for the big interview, dressing up for court. It's very funny, Sean. Like, you walk down the hall, and the one time I don't dress like a slob, everyone's like, whoa, HRMP, that is harassment. Because you are speaking volumes about what I wear on a daily basis. God forbid cool vintage sports t-shirts be considered fashion faux pas.
It's not considered fashion faux pas. It's just I was used to like 2 weeks of you walking to work and now you're wearing a dress shirt.
Thank you, Sean. People understood the struggle I was going through.
I'm used to you coming in, t-shirt, hat, shorts, little waistband thing to hold your phone.
Yep.
And now you're, look at you.
Look at me.
You're dressed like an adult.
I look like an adult.
Now I'm the one wearing a hat, t-shirt. I just don't have the waistband thing.
The waistband thing was key.
Yeah, that was function over fashion.
Function over fashion. If you're walking a long distance and you speed walk like I do, you don't want the phone bouncing around and hitting your giblets. Anyway, speaking of those giblets, it's time for the Astros to giblet up. Wow, what a transition, Paul. Because yes, they won. But I just can't feel good about last night's win. I'm going to list a couple of reasons why. Jose Altuve left the game is the biggest one. He fouled a ball off of his leg. It's told by the Astros PR team in the press box to be a left knee contusion. X-rays were negative. Altuve on the way out was asked how he's feeling. He said, good. Dusty Baker was asked about the injury. He said, well, he's sore. No offense, but any minor Astros injury, knee contusion, I'm going to assume amputation. I'm just going to assume the worst. So that part sucked. Hopefully he's not out that long. Number two, even though the Astros won last night, Christian Javier had another bad outing. 2 strikeouts? His first wasn't until the fourth? No one's really swinging at the high fastball the way that they used to. I saw this tweet from Chandler Rome, and it has all of the details of Christian Javier's struggles. 4.49 ERA, 5 innings or less in 7 of his past 9. 48 swings from the Marlins, only 9 whiffs. They only whiffed twice on his 17 fastballs. So, I don't know when he's coming back, but I'm getting close to the point of admitting that this year, the Christian Javier we knew ain't walking through that door. I heard the bench talking about him on the way over. They were saying that he hasn't really been competitive. I agree. Brings me to a backstory that I have. Back in Seattle, when I was covering the Mariners, who are very sensitive and did not like you to mention anything about them. It's the flagship station. Yusei Kikuchi was one of their pitchers. I believe he's in Toronto now, and he was struggling against certain batters. He wasn't competitive in the same way. I said he was deferential, and a bunch of people tried to cancel me because apparently that's like anti-Asian to say the word deferential. And maybe they had a point, but what I really wanted to say was he's chicken bleep. He's just scared to pitch to good hitters. He was thrown out of the strike zone against guys like Aaron Judge. Javier's having that same problem right now. I guess I'll call him deferential. Yeah, the offense had dingers last night. Let's just continue to talk about why. Yeah, the Astros won, but I'm like, eh. Kyle Tucker, is Dana going to pay him for life, as he's been suggesting, like the politician he is? Yeah! Yiner Diaz, Chaz McCormick, they all go deep. Great. But the offense struggled again with runners in scoring position. They were 1-for-5. They left 5 on base. The last 3 games, they're 3-for-25 with runners in scoring position. They've stranded 23 along the way. And the reason that they won this game is, yes, partly due to those home runs from those guys, and we're loving the seasons they're all putting together, but you also had Chaz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm. Hey, stop laughing. That was unintentional. Just blasted. No, that's... I'm glad I didn't blast that pronunciation right before saying the word blast. When he blasted Brian De La Cruz in what turned into a 2-out RBI mess up, that was with 2 outs. Like, the Marlins should have been able to get out of that inning still holding a lead. Baseball needs more of that, by the way. I kind of like seeing the outfielders absolutely blast one another. So, to wrap it all up, I get that a win is a win, or, you know, some BS cliche, but clean it up, you know? You're better than Miami. I get that Miami's a good team, but you're lucky to have walked away with a win last night. And I get it. It could be worse. For context's sake, the Yankees lost to the Braves last night, 60-60, last place in the AL East, at 500 for the first time since May 1st. The Rays, who are, I think, 3 games back of the Orioles for the best mark in the AL, lost another starting pitcher. Shane McClanahan's going to get Tommy John surgery. So Drew Rasmussen, Jeffrey Springs, the other pitchers for them. It looks like their season is on the brink, too. And the Mariners, who are chasing the Astros for second in the AL West, 2 games out of the final wild card spot, almost lost last night to the Kansas City Royals again in extra innings. They blew a 3-run lead in the 9th, and they traded away their best reliever, Paul Sewald. So it could be worse. But again, we got high standards here. Part of the season's attrition. The Astros are certainly skilled at that. I just think they're lucky to have gotten a win last night. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well, you can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Chris from Sam Houston says, errors for both teams was the story last night. Yep, that is certainly true. On the text line, 713-780-3776, we do have a couple of texts from the 281. Maldi is basically Engelbert from the Bad News Bears. Feast or famine? Am I fat-shaming Maldi? We'll talk about Martin Maldonado in the next segment, because I don't think that the defenders of Martin Maldonado are real. Some more texts here on the HRNP listener line. We got a lot of off-topic texts. If you like guys blasting each other, you should keep that to yourself. What? They blasted each other. Jazz Chisholm. I'm sorry. Those two, though, the CH sound next to the J sound, it's very easy to get dyslexic. Why should I keep that to myself? It's 2023. Another text from the 281. The Astros aren't gaining any ground, Paul. You're right. And another texter's highlighting that I like to watch men blast each other. Yeah, I'm a football guy. What can I say? What can I say here? Should we go the route of pandering instead? Because I haven't done it the last couple of days with the Astros. I've been a little real. I've been a bit of a Debbie Downer. I decided to look up some of the worst cliches about winning, because a win is a win. You know, as the philosophers and wise men of our time love to say, and women too. What's the worst cliche about winning? Because, like, yeah, I guess you could pull that card at me if you want to make a counter-argument for why I should be happy about the Astros winning last night. Vince Lombardi famously said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Thanks, Vince. I didn't know that. Bear Bryant, winning isn't everything, but it beats anything that comes in second. That's cool. Vince Lombardi, another hard-o quote, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing, in addition to it being the only thing. Cool. Derek Jeter. Oh, this is a great one. Ruiner of the Miami Marlins ballpark. If you're going to play at all, you're out to win. I didn't know that. Thank you. Ooh, we got a Kobe quote. Winning takes precedence over all. There's no gray area. No almosts. Tiger Woods. Winning solves everything. Well, maybe not marital issues. And an addiction to banging waitresses at Perkins. Tony Dungy. I just think winners win. Oh, thanks, St. Dungy. No wonder you're on the NBC Sports broadcast. Oh, this is really the only good one. Stats are for losers. The final scores for winners. That's from Bill Belichick. So there you go, guys. There you go. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. People are still commenting about my wardrobe. Someone's asking if I'm interviewing for Texas Sports Unfiltered with BK. Suppose I should leave all my options out there, but nah. Your boy's staying. I ain't bleeping leaving. While the Astros are in Miami and the Texans are about to begin joint practices with Miami, I do want to say something. And a lot of people have been wondering for a long time, like, which way I lean? What do I identify as? And Sean, I want your thoughts on this too. I identify as being from Miami. Am I allowed to say that? Like, we can say that I identify as whatever gender we want, race we want. Hell, you can call yourself a furry these days. Can I identify as being from Miami? I feel like I have a very strong argument for this. And it doesn't mean that I'm a Miami sports fan. They don't exist. It's more, I identify as being a Miami man.
Sure, yeah, with the colorful shirts and unbuttoned shirts.
Yeah, you know what? Good point. I have tropical drinks. Too many buttons up right now. Yeah. We just unbuttoned one.
Long as you don't go like much farther than like, yeah, I'm
oh.
I identify as a Miami. If you start, you know.
Oh, gotcha. Like, yeah. Like pulling out an accent. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like Tony Call Montana's me... terrible accent yes. played by Al Pacino in Scarface.
Call me Paolo.
You know what? I don't
Paolo
know.
Paolo Gallant.
Hey, listen. We're trying to build up numbies here. What if everybody thinks that my name is Paolo on the air? Does that get me more
be a good
Latino
rebrand.
Listeners?
I think it'd also be, you know, the Paul Gallant name. You know, mm-hmm. what the Q score of that is.
Let's
go for a rebrand. You
okay,
know?
I like it. I you know what? That's a great idea, Sean. As you mentioned, yeah, I do dress a little metro. I also, some people think I look like I have the old on me. That is not the case, guys. Stop. Just because I dress colorfully and identify as from Miami does not mean that I am from Miami. Because everyone in Miami has cocaine on them.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I think the only thing you need is more of a tan, but this is a delicate line of you can't get, like, too tan because then you go back to Al Pacino brown face.
No!
You can't quite go that far.
I don't think anyone would believe it if I got tanned, if I'm going to go full Miami. But
spray
look,
tan.
I'm fast AF. I'm awesome at flag football. A lot of people in Miami are like that. Over the past week, I've fried empanadas and tostones. They're good. I'll tweet out pictures. Y'all haters that think that white people can't cook, I proved you wrong. Hell, I mean, who was it that stood up against a pro Fidel Castro man named Ozzie Guillen about a decade ago when the Astros and Marlins played one another?
Has the backlash to what you said a month ago cooled down back in Miami?
What?
Has, like, the backlash to what you said, like, a month ago, has that cooled down in Miami?
What I said about last one?
About Castro?
Ah, the f***ing grow up, mother. You kidding me?
I was the one, the bold journalist, who stood up for the people of Miami, a very large Cuban-American population. So there you go, guys. I identify as being from Miami, and I'm not thrilled with the Astros' victory last night. But you want to weigh in on that. 713-780-3776 on the Paolo Gallant Show.
Gallant.
Paolo Gallant Show.
Yeah, the double L is pronounced like a Y.
Coming up next, I really don't believe that this group of people in Houston sports fandom exists. But we'll talk about who I'm talking about next. I don't believe you're real. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. They have three Nevada locations. And if you want to make a lot of money this coming football season, you got to go to one of the three to jump in one of their two awesome contests. First off, there's the Circa Million Challenge. You pick five games against the spread every single week with $1,000 down at one of those three Nevada locations, and you end up doing well, hey, you could be winning some money along the way with $6 million guaranteed in total prizes. First place wins $1 million. You also see a last place prize for $100,000. So if you're great or you suck, there's a chance you win. On top of that, there is also the Circa Survivor Challenge. Same premise. You go to one of the Circa's three locations in Nevada. You put down a grand. You make all your picks week to week. Just straight up winners for the entire season. You're the last one standing. You're winning $8 million. Incredible prizes. You can only get them at the Circa Resort and Casino. Get out to Nevada and visit them today.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Yiner hits one to left field, hits it pretty well. Back goes De La Cruz looking up. That ball's gone! Yiner Diaz connects on his 16th home run of the year. And the Astros cut this lead down to 3-2.
Paolo Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listen, I identify as being from Miami. I do. You can't tell me how I feel. So, Yiner Diaz goes deep again last night. Pretty crazy that he is on pace to have more than 20 home runs when he's not playing every single game. And I know there's lots of people that are sitting in their car right now, shaking their fist. Curse you, Dusty Baker! Why don't you put him in the lineup every day? Maybe that's the Killer Bees coming up next. I don't know. Seems to be a lot of people, though, that specifically will point to Yiner Diaz and how good of a hitter he's been, how good of an arm he has from behind home plate. He almost gunned somebody down at second base last night. He puts these throws on the absolute money. And he's making these close, which is pretty impressive considering that the bases actually got bigger this year. There's a lot of reasons. I mean, you could take a look at the statistics that Climbing Tal's Hill put out there as to why Yiner Diaz should be playing more than Martin Maldonado. There's a lot of them. This was tweeted yesterday morning. The Astros are 46-41 when Maldi starts, an 85 win pace. They have a 3.97 ERA when pitching to Maldi. They're 37-24 when Yiner Diaz starts at any position,
a 98 win pace, pitchers have a 3.30 ERA when Diaz starts. Maldonado is hitting 179 with a 560 OPS. Diaz is hitting 275 with an 807 OPS. When catching, Diaz hits 333 with a 1,004 OPS. So, I mean, whether it's from watching the games or looking at the statistics, I mean, there's no real argument to be in favor of Martin Maldonado over Yiner Diaz. There just isn't. It doesn't exist. But last night I'm on the internet and I'm seeing a lot of people just beat the absolute bejesus out of a couple of people who are Maldonado supporters, if they're actually real. And I just don't think they can be. I've accepted that I have no control over the situation. I can't tell Dusty Baker that he needs to play Maldonado. The guy just won a World Series, one of the winningest managers in Major League history, blah, blah, blah. It's out of my control. I don't have the energy to get mad about it every single day. But we're at a consensus opinion, right? I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Sean. There's nobody who is actually arguing that the Astros need to keep playing Martin Maldonado, especially at the expense of Yiner Diaz.
Yeah, it seems like the only person out there is Dusty Baker, manager of the Houston Astros. But like you said, every radio segment, every radio show has like a here's why Yiner definitely should be starting. Well, here's why it's inexcusable that it's like, yeah, definition of preaching to the choir. Everyone who is tuned into your radio show, not just on this station, but every station in the city. Yeah, we all know. Like,
everyone knows.
The only person that needs this segment is the manager of the Houston Astros.
Or people who are lazy and can't think of things to talk about when it comes to baseball. And this is a very easy layup topic.
Straw man. You just make a straw man and go like,
just kill him. Absolutely, Sean. And so this is where I'm at. I don't think that any of these online Martin Maldonado supporters are real.
That motherfucker back there is not real.
Thank you, lady on a plane. Thank you, Tiffany Gomez. Thank you. By the way, she has 78,300 followers on Instagram. Another reason that I want to blow my brains out, because this lady's successful on social media.
Wait, she's
on holding
Instagram?
Up a plane. Yes, she is,
oh,
Sean.
Hold on one second.
Oh, stop. Pay attention to the show. Save it for the commercial break, you horny bastard. Hey, bonk, bonk, bonk. One, two. These supporters are crisis actors, psyops. As you heard Tiffany Gomez say, they're not real. I don't believe it. I think there's only one person that regularly interacts with the show. That is, it's Pinche. And I feel like Pinche is a very good troll. I feel like he might be messing with all of us. So I don't believe they're real. But here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do. Okay, Maldi Anon? Here's what we're going to do for you. If you have a legitimate argument as to why Maldonado starts over Diaz, then have at it. Safe space. I will listen. I'm not even going to pounce down your throat. I'm just going to listen. But here's the caveat. You can't say any of the following.
Maldi's got more important moments. The clubhouse loves Maldi. Seriously, that experience? He's like catcher Bill Belichick. That means defensive mastermind, in case you didn't understand me. Did I also mention his experience? Also, Dusty has experiences and is making these lineups. Like, if you can bring something to the table other than all those, great. But if you can't, you're a bot or a bit. I just don't think you're real. So I would also encourage like people online. Like, there's no reason to keep beating the drum. Dusty's not listening to you, and he doesn't have to listen to you either. Like, I'm not going to act like this is the biggest problem for the Astros season this year. Their starting pitching's underachieving. Their bullpen best arms aren't as dominant as they've been, though shout out to Hunter Brown yesterday stepping in. Wonder where he would rank in the postseason among bullpen options. Ryan Presley yesterday as well. But I'm looking at these people,
that are supposedly arguing for Martin Maldonado. And I just do not believe they exist. I really don't. This is fake. Absolute fake. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text. And I kind of want there to be a Maldi Anon, you know? I'm thinking about some of the like worst sports cults of the day. Case Keenum truthers. Jeremy Lin lovers at the expense of Patrick Beverly. Davis Mills Mafia. Every single online Rockets fan who thinks Kevin Porter Jr. or Christian Wood was going to be Michael Jordan 2.0. Like, there's a lot of them. But the Maldi one does not exist. Ranger Dan has a thought. Oh, God. That's what a nickname that he gave himself. Ranger Dan, hello.
I'm in favor of Maldonado starting every day. He helps the Rangers. He helps the Rangers stay ahead. Let them stay. Let them stay.
Good call, Ranger Dan. I mean, it's kind of true. Statistically, they're worse in just about every category with Maldonado. And you can keep on saying, like, oh, well, the intangibles. But, like, cool. You're talking about things that you can't see and can't prove.
Yeah, and you brought up a whole bunch of winning cliches that get thrown around. I have one for my time at the University of Texas, head football coach at the time, Tom Herman. Winning is hard. Winning is hard. And it's a lot harder when Martin Maldonado is your captain.
Tom Herman, he definitely proved that to be correct. Yeah,
winning
was
hard. Say
what
you want about the guy. He was right about that.
Winning, not hard at UH, hard at UT. There are a lot of people, too, like that same Keenum group. Coug fans, and I'm the biggest Coug fan there is now, but Coug fans used to be insufferable. I think they've learned a lesson or two, like a little bit more profile, a little bit more conversation about them. They've gotten better. But I want to say probably like 2011 to about whenever Tom Herman left, you guys were really annoying. You really were. But we're friends now, and I am your leader. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and text into the HRNP listener line. Anthony Richardson's officially the Colts starting quarterback, and I have yet another reason that we, listeners of the Paul Galancho, can be fans of the Philadelphia Eagles. They're abusing someone you hate. We'll talk about it next.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
Tired of being the trail donkeys, acting like you some one-man GPS?
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues on the Paul Gallant Show.
22, guys. 22 days away. I have a confession to make. Please, for the love of God, don't hate me for this confession. When I was a wee lad, I did like the Patriots. But in 1995, living in the South Shore of Massachusetts, I did think that the Cowboys, and specifically Emmitt Smith, were cool. Do not hate me for that. I was 6 years old. I had a godmother and her husband, my uncle, was trying very hard to make me a Cowboys fan as well. And I got to say, his recruiting was pretty good. And yeah, maybe I've been a bandwagoner from a young age. Maybe I've always followed the strong. Anyway, guys. Anthony Richardson is officially the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts this season. That was announced yesterday. It's got me wondering what we're really waiting for when it comes to the Texans and CJ Stroud. Stroud's the guy, by the way. Like, there's no competition anymore. I know some are pushing, well, you got to have him behind the bench for a season. Do you? With that offensive line and this constant bringing up of how Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, like all-time greats, sat behind guys. They would have been fine if they'd stepped in right away. But Richardson's the guy. I saw that Anthony Richardson has also rapped before. And Sean Mapes and I are about to grade a rap that he does in a music video where it seems like he's walking outside of a convenience store.
Say that's the mission I'm writing until our plaques get bigger.
The gang talking to me sounding like some activist. Talk to them every day, they tell me that I'm talented. If I cry after I lose, that mean I'm passionate. Shout out to Speed, he paved the way for all this rapping. Trying to turn it up, yeah, I'm on go mode. Never turn my back on my brother, yeah, that's the bro code. Cruising in my whip, the light going slow-mo. Got love in my city, when they see me, they want a photo. As a youngin', I ain't never eat no peas. On the field, I'm a saint, I be throwing like Drew Brees. Worry about no trouble, I ain't gotta worry about no bleeding. For the gang, I'm 10 toes down, I'm standing on my feet.
I'm not gonna lie, I think that's pretty good. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, it's the same as, like, an athlete being athlete funny. This is like very good athlete rap.
Yeah,
like
this, I agree.
Like considering like he's a better football player than a rapper. Like this is it's pretty good. It's not pretty good. It's pretty good for starting quarterback of the Indy. He is the best Indianapolis Colts rapper of all time.
Totally true. Because we're competing with Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Jim Sorgi, and whoever else.
Carson Wentz.
Dan Orlovsky ran out the back of the ends. Imagine Dan Orlovsky rapping. That I kind of want that to happen.
I'm super. Yeah, they got to get him on NFL Live rapping.
Let me tell you about towels. Don't ever change them because...
He definitely would start the rap with, "Hi, my name's Dan, and I'm here to say I hate towels in a major way."
Don't be talking to me about towels. I got all the vowels. I'm going to empty my bowels. What? Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, that wasn't bad. I gotta say, it kind of reminds me of early 2000s rap, too. Like, I don't know, like circa like 04, 05. I kind of like it.
Very deep voice.
Very deep voice. Not as deep as former Indianapolis Colts quarterback, though, Andrew Luck, who sounded famously like an ogre.
Yeah, no, his was like modulated. Like, it felt like it was like a normal voice that got like turned down.
Yes. You know what? It does feel like there's a little Post Malone effecting going on with Anthony Richardson's voice there. Andrew Luck sounded like an ogre.
Yeah.
Like, ha, 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 I like going to NRG Stadium and destroying the Texans. I just like to have my flip phone out here every now and then. Because if you have an actual cell phone, I learned at Stanford that that's going to potentially like ruin your brain and make you have ADD all the time. That is Andrew Luck, everybody. Can't believe you joined the show. By the way, guys, you know, we're a little team curious here. We liked the Philadelphia Eagles last year, mainly because of Jalen Hurts, but that was a really awesome top-to-bottom operation, even if Nick Sirianni's a bit of a blowhard. Here's another reason to potentially like the Eagles. They are beating the absolute bejesus out of Deshaun Watson at joint practices between the Eagles and Browns. Per Joel Bitonio, Browns Pro Bowl guard, the Eagles took some cheap shots at Watson yesterday at practice. By the way, Jalen Carter, who the Texans could have taken over Will Anderson, looks like the real deal. He was apparently also bullying Joel Bitonio.
Yeah, Jalen Carter felt like one that, like, during the draft, it was like, you can't trust this guy. Red flags. And then the second he stepped on a field, this was going to happen, where it's like, turns out he's unblockable.
I would feel worse about Jalen Carter if he had fallen past where the Texans were picking with their second pick.
Yeah.
I thought, if you listen back in the day, that D'Amico would actually be a really good influence for someone like Jalen Carter. The Eagles are an even better situation for him. There's so many defensive linemen to hold him accountable that are good. Like, their Eagles defensive line is one of the best in the league.
So many Georgia defensive linemen to hold him accountable.
It's terrifying. By the way, Watson's not looking good in camp. He threw 3 interceptions just to Reed Blankenship of the Eagles in the past 2 practices. But don't tell the Browns that, because Amari Cooper believes he and other Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore, I believe, was like a guy who was constantly bitching and moaning about his situation with the Jets. He believes they can be the next Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. What a tandem to bring up.
Yeah, what a good pull, too.
It is a nice historic pull, saying, quote, "We're going to be a great tandem." I think about great tandems like Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce. That's what I think we could be. We run great routes, create separation. Separate separation, he said. We can both get open. We're both reliable. Okay. It's going to be fun watching the Browns underachieve again. Kevin Stefanski and one of the other coaches that's just absolutely sucked up to by the nerd community that watches football. And that guy has sucked just as much as Brandon Staley has since he joined the league. Sometimes it's fun to watch it, not because you want those guys to fail. You want the people that are insufferable about how good those two are to just shut the hell up. There was a Hard Knocks episode last night. I hate watched it. There was a magician. It's really the only part of the show that wowed me, some guy named Oz. He was actually pretty good, not going to lie. It was pretty impressive what the magician did.
I feel like I've seen that guy on either on Hard Knocks or like at an NFL training camp before.
I think so.
Wasn't he like on the like with the Ravens last year? Like, I feel like I've seen that guy before.
He did have a lame message about how if we put all the pieces of the puzzle together, like we could be really good. Like, shut the hell up. Like, these are adults. They don't need your stupid like.
Just do the magic show, please.
Yeah. Hey, here's a magic show to explain that winning matters. Other takeaways: the Jets' defensive line rules. Their offensive line might suck a lot. Rodgers was not thrilled with the offensive line. Their first-round rookie, Will McDonald, Iowa State, 15th overall. He's a pass rusher. Looked pretty good, but he's addicted to piercings. He had this to say about all the piercings he got. My style is unpredictable because I have one life to live. So, cool. That's nice. I can't get past the Hardo coaches, though. You might have heard about their defensive line coach, Jeff Ulbrich. He is the guy that was making fun of the Patriots for doing their job in episode one. Here is a random rant that he had with a stretching Quinnen Williams, who was arguably the Jets' best player other than Aaron Rodgers, before they got into joint practices with the Panthers.
Hey, sometimes you just got to lift your leg and mark your territory. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're in their backyard going on the corner, on the tree, on the porch. On the kids' toys?
No, not the kids.
Not the kids' toys.
Not the kids.
I know. You can piss on their toys.
He's talking number one, not number two. Here's my advice for first off Hard Knocks. Not everyone needs to be mic'd up. Sometimes when you mic somebody up, they're going to go for it. And this guy is clearly going for it. I do think the Jets are a little bit distracted by this. Very on brand for the Jets. I mean, dude, you should not, of all the Jets coaches, be calling attention to yourself. The Jets have one of the best defensive lines in the league. You saw it in the joint practices. You saw it in the preseason game against the Panthers. No one should know your name. You do not want people to know your name until the offseason. You don't want it before the season, because say the Jets defensive line isn't as good as it should be on paper. Everyone is going to point at you, the blowhard, who is ripping on the Patriots, and on top of that, was giving stupid-ass one-liners like this. Am I wrong?
I think for casual fans like myself, I will know Jeff Ulbrich's name. Mm-hmm. Funny, I said I will know his name and then got him confused with someone else. I'll know his name for like 3 years after this. I still know the Browns offensive line guy who would go hut and his belly would move up and he was really funny looking. Yeah, I still remember him, and he coached on with Hugh Jackson, so he's definitely fired.
Hugh Jackson. Should you never be hired again if you were on Hugh Jackson's coaching staff?
I think only Todd Haley should be able to get a job, because Todd Haley was obviously smart enough to angle for the head coaching job.
Yes, he was.
While the offensive coordinator.
I think like Greg Williams was also on that staff with him, too.
Well, he shouldn't coach in the NFL for different reasons.
Yeah, different reasons. Also, Robert Saleh, I also think he's trying too hard. He had a platitude saying, like, be the instigator, not the instigated. And he also had this confusing back and forth with Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen, I hope this group can woke up this morning, not bullshit.
You ain't got to hope.
You know we go as you go.
You don't hope. You believe. You believe. But we don't hope. We know.
Those who live in hope die in.
We don't hope or believe. We know.
Always remember that. Those who live in hope die in poop. Robert Saleh.
Does Quinnen Williams just walk through practice being like, why is everyone trying their material on me? Is it something about me that everyone feels like they can get their weird sayings off on me? Because that's who Jeff Ulbrich was talking to, too.
Yeah. Like,
Quinton Williams, like, leave me alone.
I know. I think if I'm Quinton Williams, I'm wearing headphones during the next time I'm stretching because I just don't want these guys to talk to me. So anyway, that's my Hard Knocks episode 2 recap. Other fun stories, Teddy Bridgewater's wearing number 50 for the Lions. Some buzzkill online said, oh, it's not actually going to happen. They have to be 0 through 19. I want him to be number 50. That's hilarious. And we talked about how the Texans have been getting into fights. They signed Jackie Chen, a tackle. So, like, D'Amico Ryan's really leaning into the fights, huh? Signing Jackie Chen.
Time for a break.
Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Are there Martin Maldonado fans out there? I want a real argument from you guys. And James Harden's officially killed the Sixers. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. They got 3 Nevada locations, and there are 2 awesome football challenges that could make you a whole lot of money this year. There's a Circa Survivor Challenge. You put $1,000 down, you pick a winner every single week, you get 20 straight winners throughout the entire NFL season. You might be winning $8 million. Hell, you might win a little bit earlier if you're the last person standing. There's also Circa's Million Challenge, where you put down $1,000 at one of the 3 Circa locations in Nevada. And guess what? You pick 5 games against the spread every single week. You compete for up to $1 million as the first place prize, with $6 million guaranteed in total prizes and $100,000 to the person who comes in last place. It's all the Circa Resort and Casino, my favorite location, the one in Las Vegas. I am going there next week. I cannot wait to go back there next week. The pool, amazing. If I go to Vegas, I want to be by a pool. Their pool might be the best with all the TVs that they have and all the sports you can watch there. And on top of that, they've also got an awesome indoor sports book, which is, I think, a must-watch place for college football during the fall. Circa Resort and Casino. Sign up. Go to Circa in Nevada. Play big and win big today.
ESPN 97.5.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Paulo Gallancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the 1020 segment, I explained why I don't believe that there are actual people who are supporting Martin Maldonado to play more regularly than Yiner Diaz. Because you can't make an argument based in statistics. You can't make an argument based off of what you see. I think that the people who are pro-Maldonado are crisis actors, psyops, or bots. But I got an interesting comment on the twitch.tv/ESPN975. Chris from Sam Houston says that today is Martin Maldonado's birthday and that the Astros tweeted about that today. Listen, we're just talking about his fans. You can support his birthday happening. It's great that he's alive. He did have good moments in the postseason. He did. That's why I don't want to turn the guns on Maldonado entirely. He said, you want Houston? You got Houston. Like, that's an awesome one-liner. We're going to be playing that for the rest of time whenever talking about the Astros. But
he should just be the backup catcher.
Yes. An eventual bench coach, if not the actual manager of this team. A text, sources say Maldonado keeps his spot because he and Dusty are Pantera fans. I found out that Pantera is here this week, and we are trying to figure out a way that I could potentially cover this as a journalist and just go up to people and say, like, so Pantera, why are you mad all the time? Do you think it makes you more of a man because you listen to Pantera? And, like, how many questions can I ask before someone slugs me in the face? It'd be nice.
One, I think.
Just one?
I think they'll just take one look at you and go, so Pantera, huh? And they'll be like, get out of here.
What if I did it like that? Pantera?
Huh?
Wow. Man, you guys seem to have small penises, huh? Liking this song. Backstriz commented, and a couple other people did, with my Andrew Luck commentary, where I was trying to rap like Andrew Luck. Good impersonation of the Roach guy in Men in Black. Thank you. A couple of people said that. Andrew Luck sounds like that. And another texter said, the only argument for Maldi, I'm not going to say what Mark said about Maldi, is that he's Verlander's personal catcher. If Verlander wants him, he's earned it. Okay, guys.
I'm good with that. I'm good with, like, once every fifth day
I agree with that.
That's once, like, a normal backup catcher role.
Normal backup catchers do. Yes. Yes. 100%. And if you want him in late-inning situations, fine. But, like, the ERAs even are different, where Diaz is the better guy throwing down runners at second, better fielder, and on top of that, doesn't have as many pass balls, and on top of that, like, the ERAs are literally better when Diaz is catching. And on top of that, he's hitting like 333 with a 900 OPS. Roy has a thought on Texans practice. They opened up some joint practices with the Miami Dolphins today at 713-780-3776. He calls in the HRNP listener line. What's up, Roy?
Compare and contrast this year's Texans with the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers.
What the hell? Well, I'm guessing that team won the Super Bowl, and guess what? The Texans aren't winning the Super Bowl. Compared, contrasted.
Also, I think everyone on the Texans' defense is much younger than the 1978 Steelers defense.
Right,
they're
you
all
are, Sean.
So much younger.
Right, you are. They're all a lot younger.
Like 50 years younger.
Yeah, that Steelers team, I mean, you can't stop listing like the all-time greats that they had. Joe Green, Jack Lambert. If you really want to make the argument because he won, Terry Bradshaw. You've got at wide receiver, Lynn Swan. I forget who the guy who was lined up across from Lynn Swan was, but they had two pretty good receivers. Was it Allworth?
John Stallworth.
John Stallworth. Thank you.
Franco Harris.
Franco Harris. I mean,
you know, can Damian Pierce be the Franco Harris of the Houston Texans?
We're not doing that. He can, and he might not be.
Franco Harris in 1978 only had 1,082 rushing yards.
Damn. So
in 16 games.
Well, Damian Pierce might be better than him already. Look, here's all I want. I want to prolong the inevitable Damian Pierce turns into the way Franco Harris looked when he was with the Seattle Seahawks, which is just an awkward look. One last thought before we move on, and we talk about some of the stuff that's going on at Houston Texans training camp. I'm very excited about today. I'll tell you why. James Harden has officially destroyed the Philadelphia 76ers, because now it seems like there is a revolution against Daryl Morey. Obviously, we had James Harden say in China at that basketball camp that Daryl Morey is a liar. I'll never play for him again, twice for effect. Yesterday, PJ Tucker, who I do actually like, posted on his Instagram story, "I'm not acrobatic. I'm not flipping on my bros," with a caption of that on top of a picture of he and James Harden looking very fresh. The wardrobe looked pretty good. Then it was Joel Embiid who removed Philadelphia from his location. He still has processing on his Instagram account profile. And my God, the people that keep track of this are losers. But a question. Doesn't this feel like the Walter White, if you've watched Breaking Bad-esque end for Daryl Morey? Can't deny that Daryl Morey's smart. Can't deny that Walter White is smart. But it did feel like eventually Daryl Morey, his damn the chemistry, damn the players, I'll trade anybody except for James Harden until now. Although he's saying that he's still not going to trade Harden. Trust the numbers. Shrug at the bodies along the way that have been fired or sent elsewhere. Isn't this a fitting end, perhaps, for Daryl Morey's career? Where the guy that Morey backed the longest eventually turns on him, sort of like Jesse Pinkman eventually turns on Walter White. Isn't it kind of fitting? Damn, that was a good comparison. My God, I'm an amazing radio host.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was surprised that Tony Dungy was on the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, how about that? Maybe it's just a guy named Tony Dungy, but I think it's the real Tony Dungy.
It probably is the real Tony Dungy, because he played around then. Miracle, wait, no, that's Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards was Miracle at the Meadowlands.
Yes, no,
where
this
did Tony
is the
Dungy
real Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy played for the Steelers. Interesting. Yeah, interesting. I didn't know that. Okay, guys, one more argument for Martin Maldonado. He did call that no-hitter. He's called a couple, I think.
Yes, but not the World Series one. That was Vasquez.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That hurts.
So two out of the last three no-hitters.
Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We don't believe that Martin Maldonado Anon is real, but we're not happy about the Astros' victory last night either. And I am excited for the Houston Texans and what they're about to do today. I'll explain next.
ESPN 97.5.com. What did we say to you?
And if I said something to you, maybe I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it, but I don't think I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But if I did, then tell me what it was, and I'll say sorry for that too.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.